Book, the Apostle Paul penned to the church of Thessalonica there. If you remember, the church was kind of confused concerning the teaching of the day of the Lord, and we talked a little bit about this last week as we looked at this chapter, and Paul's wrote this letter a few months after the first letter to help them to remember that they were not in the middle of the day of the Lord, and they obviously were in some intense persecution. And possibly received a letter that was forged by someone, not the Apostle Paul. And so he sends this letter to the church. And I think a couple of weeks ago, we looked at a message entitled Confusion Corrected. Last week, we looked at chapter number 2. We began this chapter, and we talked about not only did he say, hey, some things need to happen before the day of the Lord is upon us. There's going to be a falling away, verse number 3. The man of sin is going to be revealed. And last week, we looked at the Antichrist, and we recognize that Satan's purpose from the beginning has been to overthrow and to thwart what God's doing. Once the church is raptured out of here, and that's going to be a great day, isn't it? And I hope you're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. We'll sing about that tonight. At the end of the service, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Once we're raptured, the Antichrist is going to be revealed, and he's going to be, as we looked last week, he's going to try to be, Antichrist will try to be to Satan what Jesus is to God. He'll be allowed to and empowered to do the work of Satan. Eventually, God will take care of the Antichrist. Now, I want to look at the next three verses, verse 10, 11, and 12 in our text. And really, this has to do with the effects of the deception of the Antichrist and his job to hurt people and to deceive people. But I want us to take a step back before we dive into the text, because I don't just want to give you information. I want to try to help us apply this information to us. And so I want to ask you this question real quick by way of introduction. How many of you know of somebody that is unsaved? I'm not talking about just way out there. I mean, you know, it's a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, somebody. All right, so I want to give you three reasons tonight, based on this text, why we need to be aggressive in winning people to Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to give you the facts, but I'm going to use these facts to help motivate us, because of this truth, to be the witness that we need to be. All right, follow along as I look at verse number 10. We'll look at verse 10, 11, and 12. I'll give you the message outline right out of the gate. We'll have prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. Verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2, the Bible says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Verse 12, "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What is coming? We know, obviously, he's talking concerning the Antichrist here and his ability to deceive people during the tribulation. The reality is, what is coming, what Satan is doing now, is the same thing, except it will be intensified then. What is coming? Three things are coming as we look. Verse number 10, a deception is coming. Verse number 11, a delusion is coming. And verse number 12, a damnation is coming. If people do not trust Christ as Savior, we'll see this, they will spend eternity in hell. For every one of us that raised our hand and said, "I know of somebody," unless that person gets saved, they're going to spend eternity in hell, which is the ultimate of, as we look at our third point here. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll talk briefly. We got the Lord's Supper here tonight. I trust the Lord will use this in our lives. Lord, we need you tonight. Without you, we're nothing. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm saved. Lord, I'm encouraged by the singing, interacting with God's people, by the music. Lord, what a blessing it is to know we're on our way to heaven. Lord, tonight in a few minutes, we'll thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood and breaking your body for us. or it's a great privilege to be a Christian. But Lord, there are some, many, with whom we interact with that do not know you as personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would use the truth of what will happen in the future to motivate us now to be about telling people the good news that Jesus saves. Lord, we know you would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Lord, would your heart be our heart? Lord, when you saw the multitudes, you were moved with compassion. Lord, would you break our heart for the lost, for the needs around us? Lord, would we sow in tears? And Lord, I ask that you would give us a harvest. And Lord, someday that last soul will get saved. The trumpet will sound and we'll be with you. Lord, until then, would you help us to be faithful? Speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. A deception is coming. Verse number 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Last week we looked at the job of the Antichrist, who is going to deceive. He's going to deceive to try to get the world to worship him and ultimately to worship Satan. We know when we look at the truth of the Word of God that people are deceived. First of all, we know that people are deceived by Satan, the small g god of this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 that he blinds the minds of them which believe not. Lest what? Lest they believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 8 and verse 44, the Bible says that Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he does whatever he can to try to hinder people from trusting Christ as Savior. By the way, can I say this? That Satan will do everything he can to try to get you to keep from telling people about Jesus. Do you know when something inside of you says, pass out that person, give them a gospel tract? It's not the devil. The Spirit of God that lives in you will prompt you to give a gospel tract, to say a word. And what do? In our own flesh, we begin to start, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. The devil will do everything he can to end us. As a matter of fact, you go back just a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and here's what Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. He says this in verse number 18, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, but even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. He'll do everything he can to hinder the gospel, the truth, from going out. We know this beginning in the book of Genesis when Satan tempted Eve and said, really, hath God really said that? God's not out for your good. God's not out for your good. And that's a lie. God's out for our good and for his glory. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, his name was Saul. And we read in Acts chapter number 9 that he went out thinking that he was serving God, thinking that he was doing God a service by arresting people that preached the gospel, by persecuting the church, by probably being a part of having Stephen stoned. He thought, hey, I'm serving God this way. I'm doing the right thing. By the way, there's people in our society today that think you're the enemy. They think Christians are the problem in this world. They are deceived. They're deceived by the god of this world, the devil. And Satan will do what he can. We saw this in the when you look at the Christmas story, when Herod decides he's going to kill all the babies. We're going to get all these baby boys, and we're going to get them killed. And what are we trying to do? Thwart the work of God. But not only are people deceived, there's coming a deception. I think there's a deception now, but this is speaking of the greater deception. People are also deceived by their own unrighteousness. Look at the latter part of verse number 12, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, their own lifestyle. If you go to Romans chapter number 1, I'll meet you there. I'm going to stop in Mark chapter number 10. And I'm going to read something, Mark 10, that you're familiar with. You're familiar with Romans 1 as well. In Mark chapter number 10, the Bible says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Oh, you're familiar with this. And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good. Oh, that's God. Thou knowest the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said, "All these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. Why did he go away grieved? Because the scripture says here he had great possessions. He was deceived. He was deceived into thinking that this world had something to offer that God couldn't offer. Can I say this world has nothing to offer any of us? Nothing at all. The world will scream that it has what you need to satisfy the deep needs in your life, and the world has nothing that will satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can make us whole. Only Jesus can give us that joy and peace. And yet people are deceived. In Romans chapter number 1, boy, people are confused in our day now, aren't they? They don't know if they're men or women or what's up. That becomes why. Why is that? Because people don't want to receive the truth. Look at verse 21 of Romans 1. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies, to be between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie." And we don't have a lot of time here. But the reality is people are deceived by their own lifestyle. People are deceived by their own thinking. You talk to somebody and you knock on the door and you try to tell them about Jesus and they say, "I don't believe that." "Well, what do you believe?" "Well, I believe this." "Well, what's that based on?" "What I think." I try in situations like that in a very nice way to say, "So you're your own God." I've had people say, "No, I'm not my own God." Well, the reality is you're living by what you think, by what you believe, by what you say. You see, people want to do what they want to do, and their theology is going to back up what they want to do. The reality is, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Don't let your actions or your desires change your theology, all right? Let the Word of God dictate how we operate. And when the Word of God is contrary to how I'm living, we don't reinterpret the Word of God. We say, "Hey, I need to change," because the mirror of the Word of God is showing me something in my life that isn't what it ought to be. We have admonition throughout the Scripture, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." The God of this world, that is our enemy, our adversary, the devil, is doing his deceptive work now. We need to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, let me say this, he does not want you here on Saturday morning. He does not want you on Sunday afternoon to go Outreach Sunday. By the way, can I say this? It's in your favor to come. You see why? Number one, you don't have to cook. All right? You come here and you just sit down. Number two, you eat quicker. Unless you go from here to the McDonald's, and I think we might even have McDonald's eat, you can eat quicker here because you eat right away. Number three, you might have to clean up a little bit. We use paper plates and forks and you can throw them away. And so the cleanup is less. The fellowship is more. It's greater. And you can go out and do something eternal for the Lord and tell people about Jesus. I doubt any of you get in bed for your nap before 2 o'clock. Now, maybe somebody might. I don't know. All right, good. Nobody's looking at me like they get in bed before 2 o'clock. I'll have to hit the book of Proverbs, go to the ant thou sluggard if you're getting in bed before 2 o'clock. The reality is this. It's a whole lot better to come here and to plan to say, "I'm going to sign up and I'm going to go." You say, "Yeah, but I don't have the strength I used to have." That's okay. We have driving routes. We have walking routes. We have new move-in routes. Whatever route it is, we got it. All right? You say, well, I'll stay and do a mailing. Hey, I'll give you stamps, and you can do a mailing. Whatever, I don't know what else to say, probably not politically correct, comes to mind. Whatever floats your boat. How about that? When it comes to, look, we got to reach people. And we not be deceived about this matter, but there's coming a deception. People are going to be deceived, and they're going to be deceived by the devil. They're going to be deceived by the Antichrist. Number two, I want you to see this. Go to verse number 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The word delusion means a strong belief causing one to hold a wrong view or to cause to wander off the path. Many believe this verse teaches that if somebody has opportunity here and now to trust Christ as Savior, clear gospel given to trust Christ as Savior, in the tribulation time, they will believe the lie of the devil. If that's true, some of these things out there, I can't remember the name of the movie that was big, might not be exactly accurate as we might think. But the reality is, we see in the Word of God, the Bible says in Genesis 6 and verse number 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. In 1 Samuel chapter number 6 and verse number 6. And actually, I want you to turn to Exodus 4 while I hit 1 Samuel chapter 6. Look at Exodus 4. And let me remind you of a story in the Word of God here concerning Pharaoh. 1 Samuel 6:6, the Bible says, wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when they had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed. Exodus 4 and verse number 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Moses hardened his heart, and he hardened his heart, and God said, okay, I'm going to harden your heart. Exodus chapter number 8 and verse number 15. Exodus 8 and verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. In order for a person to get saved, they need the truth of the Word of God. They need the Spirit of God to convict them, to convince them of their need to trust Christ as Savior. God gives everyone a free will. God could have made us all robots. He could have said, we're all robots. And he said, praise the Lord three times. He go, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right? Could have. But he gave us all a free will. And there are individuals like Pharaoh that hardened his heart, that locked down, that said, no, no, no. I mean, you can see his attitude right out of the gate when they come in. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Hey, Pharaoh saw himself as God, and he hardened himself against the Lord, and God hardened him. I think there was some hardness in the life of King Saul. God told Saul, hey, don't offer the offering, and he offered it. Hey, kill all the Amalekites, and he blames the people. You know, it's interesting when you look at Saul and David. David sinned the greater sins, but David said, it's me, O Lord, it's me, I have sinned. And Saul said, it's them, O Lord, it's not me. The hardening of one's heart. When you think about this, this is sobering. Some people think, well, I'll wait. And sometimes people get killed in car wrecks and have heart attacks, and it's too late. And I say this, sometimes we say, I'll wait to talk to them about the Lord. I'll give them a track tomorrow. I'll give them a track next week or next month. And we lose opportunities to tell people about Jesus. I'm very thankful that the Lord put it on my heart, and it's nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Lord, not me at all. Easter Sunday afternoon to go down and see Pete Shauger's dad at the hospital there. It was just he and I. He was coherent, talked, trusted Christ as Savior. He's in heaven now. Amen. You see, we don't know how much time we have to live. I remember when Brother Jim Thomas and I went to see Jackie Hazard's husband. He was laid up in the bed. He trusted Christ as Savior. A day or two later, he went, where he couldn't talk anymore. 8 days later or so, he died and went to heaven. We don't have time to wait. There's a strong delusion coming where people will think. I've thought about this. All these people are going to be raptured out of here. Do you know there's a lot more going on about UFOs? You see people talk about UFOs? I wonder if that's the news media's way to say all those bad people got taken by the UFOs and look at what we have now. And we know initially the Antichrist is going to sign that peace treaty and everything's going to be smooth sailing for a little while. And people's going to think, wow, I'm so glad I wasn't part of that group. You see, a strong delusion is coming. But I want you to see number three, and this is the most sobering. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world. Romans 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thought about that song, whosoever will may come. The opportunity for salvation is available to all. People say, well, a good God, a loving God isn't going to damn people to hell. They choose it. I've talked to parents that have kids in their home and the kids aren't doing right. And the parent says, well, these are my rules. And the kid says, well, I want to do my thing. I don't want to obey your rules. And the parent says, well, these are the rules if you want to live here. And the parent will say, the kid is saying, I'm kicking them out. You're not kicking them out. They are choosing to move out. You see, they're choosing to make that choice. You establish, here's where we're at. If you want to be here, you can be here. But here are the rules. And it's not that you're kicking them out. They're choosing to leave. You know, the reality is somebody that spends eternity in hell, God's given them all ample opportunity. You see, how does it work? I don't know how it works. But God tells us in Romans 1, hey, God works on individuals' conscience. And that's God's job, not my job to figure it out. But an individual that goes to hell because they choose that. We think about God's heart for the lost. We think about the many opportunities that God has given. I ran some stats, 2024, there's 8 billion, 60 million, is that right? 71,687 people, something like that, 8 billion. Listen to this. This is as of 2020. There are 368,000 births each day. Actually, let me just forget the births. Let's talk about the deaths. 155,500 people die each day. Actually, I got to give you each year. 56.8 million people die each year. 155,500 die each day. 6,480 people die each hour. We started at 6, we end at 7, 6,480 people will have died. 108 people die each minute, and 1.8 people die each second. We have to ask ourselves this question when we think concerning those individuals that have died. How many of them went to heaven? How many of them went to hell? God has given us a responsibility. a responsibility to see people saved. We need never forget that hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Someone said brimstone is a description of what fuels Gehenna or hell. It's a sulfur yellowish non-metallic substance that is a major component of gunpowder. Nearly half of all sulfur that is produced today is extracted from oil or natural gas. Sulfur melts at 248 degrees Fahrenheit. At 482 degrees Fahrenheit, it turns a fierce red. At 832 degrees, it boils and turns pitchy dark brown. We think about, we won't take time to look at it. I was going to Luke chapter number 16, where the Bible gives us a picture of hell. The Lord opens the lid of hell, and by the way, there's a lot of prayer going on there. You know, people in hell are burdened for souls. We see it in Luke chapter number 16. Could you send someone to my family? Send someone there to my family. We often live in the comforts of America here, and we're on our way to heaven. We don't live in the reality of hell. William Booth, powerful soul winner, founder of the Salvation Army, was once asked, "Do you think you have the best witnessing school in the world?" Booth replied, "No. I don't think my methods are the best methods. I think the best method of giving people a burden for lost souls would be to take them to the devil's hell. Allow them to experience what it is to be lost in hell, separated from God for an eternity in the fire that can never be quenched. Then I believe men would truly have a burden." We need to ask God on a regular basis to give us a burden for people that are on their way to hell. Again, there's a damnation coming. Someday we know death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Someday we know, you read the book of Revelation. And we look at that, whosoever was not found written, the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm glad my name's in there, and you're glad your name's in there. But there's somebody you know. We start off raising our hand. There's some bodies you know whose names aren't written there. God wants us to be burdened, to communicate, to tell them about Jesus. When I was maybe a junior in college, you know, you have fire alarms. They go off here and there. You know, college, they got to have some. We had a fire alarm here, right? We all went out there where we're supposed to go. And most of the time, we just kind of talk and do what we're not supposed to do during fire alarms. But there was one incident when the dorm was really on fire. Well, it was a dorm room. I don't know how it happened, but somebody lit it. You know, it was a dorm room that was on fire. And the guys were kind of coming down the steps nonchalantly until we got to the first floor and saw the whole floor filled with smoke. It was amazing to me how people acted when they faced the reality of a real fire. These hall leaders and dorm people, I mean, they were moving. People got serious. People got out of the building. People weren't goofing off and like they normally would do. I'm sure I've told you this. One fire drill, I'm switching gears, all right? We'll come back to the real fire. One fire drill, my brother was in the shower. And I went in there and said, "Hey, it's a fire drill. We got to get out of here." And he opens the curtain and goes, "I'm going to put the fire out with this right here." And I just left. I don't know whatever happened to him, if he ever got demerits or not or what. I said, "I'm out of here. I ain't getting any demerits," right? My mama didn't raise no fool. But the reality is it was totally different when somebody sets a fire and there's... We don't live in the reality. Do you know right now while we sit here, there are people that are burning in hell for all eternity. A very real place. The only one that can break our heart for souls is God. And Paul says to this church at Thessalonica, hey, these things are also coming. Antichrist is coming. There's a falling away. Don't worry, you're not in the day of the Lord. And he gives us information concerning the Antichrist and concerning what's going to happen to people because of the deception of the Antichrist, ultimately culminating in them being damned to hell for all eternity. May God help us. In just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate what he's done for us. May God help us to have a burden to reach people with the gospel. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I need a greater burden for souls.